This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities, taking a look at the wheat markets for Monday, July 16th. Well, last week the wheat markets had a similar type of price action as the previous week, where the week started out under pressure, only to close quite strong for Thursday and Friday of the week, and that was the last 2 weeks running. Unfortunately, last week the rally late didn't offset the sell-off that was early. So we continue to watch this wheat market flounder, you know, despite fundamentals that are turning increasingly bullish and frankly have been fairly bullish throughout the growing season. It's just not enough to offset the pressure from corn and beans, from the trade wars, from losses in business, a plethora of things coming at the markets. In general, it's not just wheat, it's just the commodity space and even the equities for that matter. Much of it pointed toward the trade wars. But in wheat, here in the United States, of course, we're wrapping up harvest in the Central Plains. As we start harvest in the Northern Plains, we're looking at a big winter wheat crop and a good quality one as well across Montana, North Dakota, up in, you know, what winter wheat is grown in the Canadian prairies. And then speaking of the Northern Plains, Canadian prairies, the spring wheat crop is looking pretty stellar as well. More acres, quite a few more acres, in fact, than last year, about 1.5 million more than last year. And rain that has been quite good for most of the season. There are some pockets, especially in the far northern plains, much of it across Durham country, that it's been trending dry. But generally speaking, across the heart of the northern plains and Canadian prairies, the rains have come and the spring wheat, spring grain crops in general look very good. So we're looking at a monster spring wheat crop. Clearly that's a drag on the Minneapolis market compared to the other winter wheats. But around the rest of the northern hemisphere, as harvest starts to kick in, we are looking at production losses from last year across most regions. China's already announced about a 5 million ton drop from last year. Russia, of course, USDA last week projected their production would be down about 4 million tons from last year. But the Russian Ag Minister late in the week on Friday announced that their production estimates would be down even more than that, down another 2.5 million tons from USDA at around 64.4 million tons. That compares to USDA's projection of 67 compared to last year, around 72. So it's still a big winter wheat crop so far projected out of Russia. Kind of a surprise, at least to me, considering the dryness that they've experienced for the most part all season long across that southern region and through the Volga. But nevertheless, that's what the latest estimates are. European Union too, of course, a couple weeks ago, France downgraded their wheat crop about 4 million tons, and that showed up in the supply-demand report. But we haven't heard many estimates coming out of the UK, which has been at least as dry as France, or Germany, which has also experienced quite a bit of dryness. So the European Union in general looking at a notable drop in wheat production, and that would spread across all their grains as well. As we look at the demand starting to really pick up here, and that's typical as harvest gets rolling across the northern hemisphere, but we saw Saudi Arabia make a snap tender late on Friday. They did buy 625,000 tons over the weekend. Now, they don't say specifically from who, probably a variety of optional origins, but nevertheless, that's a pretty big chunk of business. And we're seeing more tenders show up as well. So that's certainly showing signs that supplies are relatively tight in some of these major buyers, and they're anxious to get some sales on the books. Weather here in the here in the United States, looking at the heat kind of getting trapped in the Southwest. That's not going to migrate back into the Midwest. And that was the big question heading into the weekend, is what was going to happen to this high pressure ridge. And it looks like it's going to stay over the Southwest as we wrap up pollination in corn across the heart of the Midwest and then head into soybean pollination. It sure looks like weather's going to be pretty nice. It's cooling down after some intense heat over the last couple weeks. Rains are coming to much of the Midwest, a lot of spotty rains. So it doesn't look like stress is going to be all that great on the crop in arguably the most critical stage of the crop, and that's through pollination. So that takes us into the second half of the growing season. And for the most part, it looks like the row crops will work their way through at least this initial stage quite well. And again, with wheat, we're looking at big spring wheat, looking at a good winter wheat crop across northern plains to wrap up the winter wheat harvest. Soft red pretty much working through their harvest without too many problems. And so, you know, with you've removed some of this uncertainty in a critical time period for the row crops and wheat as well. And so if, at least for now, you don't have the trade wars, you don't have any, you know, resolution there. That's going to keep a wet blanket over the markets. And then, of course, you've got the harvest pressure continuing. So Russia did put out some estimates on their harvest. So far, their wheat harvest, they've secured about 24.6 million tons. That compares to just 9 million at this stage last year. So obviously their crop is being pushed along quite rapidly, much more so than last year. Their average yield, 3.88 million tons per hectare. That compares to last year's 4.69 million tons per hectare. That's a drop of 17%. Now, last year was an aberration. They had a monster crop last year, you know, off the chart yields and production. So you are comparing to a pretty big number, but nevertheless, it's down significantly from last year. It's not a bust like we saw in 2010 or in some of these other years, but nevertheless, it's definitely weaker than last year. Now, their exportable supplies were all gone from last year, so they've got they're starting from a lower starting point. But it at least for now, looks like they'll probably have enough to supply demand, at least initially. And it looks like the Europeans won't be as aggressive. The Ukraine, you know, for a second year in a row, won't be as competitive either. But at least early in the marketing year, you're probably going to have enough production out of Russia to satisfy some of these, at least the initial demand. So, you know, the drought that we saw developing across southern Russia and into the Volga, the drought that we saw in eastern Europe, across much of Europe, in fact, really not having that much of an impact on prices. And much of that, of course, is just due to the trade wars that have had such a negative impact on the market. And of course, corn and soybeans, looking at good production and yields there as well. That's part of the pressure too. But from a fundamental standpoint and a long-term outlook, you still have a very bullish outlook for wheat and corn, and both of those will key off of each other. So that's you know, a positive as well. You know, one's not going to move really without helping the other along. If they're both moving higher, that just adds fuel to the fire. And I think as you get deeper into the marketing year, when supplies will tighten, and especially as the southern hemisphere's crop gets rolling, we're still looking at dryness that is kind of enveloped throughout Australia and looks to continue at least through their semi-dormant phase. Now there's increasing chatter about El Nino developing. That would suggest Australia's headed for another drought year as well. It's not a slam dunk, but usually that's the case. Argentina, on the other hand, so far their crop looks okay. Of course, they're headed into dormancy too, but they've had plenty of moisture. You know, they've had quite an interesting year of grain production. Had a good wheat crop last fall, and then it turned dry on them. They had a complete disaster for corn production, and then it started raining on the corn harvest, but that added moisture to the soil for the winter wheat planting. So it looks like, at least for now, they're on tap for a good winter wheat production season. El Ninos, if anything, probably help Argentina if they have any impact at all, but they certainly usually are a pretty big negative for Australia as far as rainfall. So if Australia comes in with another short crop, that just adds another bullish component to the fundamental outlook for wheat. So I do think that wheat will work its way higher, probably not enough and fast enough to kick in on these options that we bought, unfortunately. But I think the long-term outlook is bullish, again, for wheat and corn, and that they will support each other as we get deeper into the marketing year, especially as we get into the fall and into the spring, when there's a dearth of harvest, and you're not going to see, you know, a lot of competition out of the Black Sea because of freezing ports. And if Australia comes in short, you don't have a lot of competition as you get into late winter, early spring. So from a long-term outlook, bullish wheat and corn, but I don't think it's going to happen fast enough to kick in with these options. So that wraps it up for the wheat commentary. If you have any questions, you can call me at 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.